Good morning. Please remain seated and let's all join together in our hymn of preparation. And welcome this morning to Main Street United Methodist Church. It's certainly a pleasure to see all of you here this morning, and we hope that you all will have a very meaningful worship experience. We want to extend a very special welcome to those that are visiting with us this morning. We hope that you feel welcome here at Main Street, and if you are a visitor looking for a church home, if you would give us your address and phone number on the attendance pads as they are passed down the pew, that will allow us to have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of the church. So if you would now please pass those attendance pads down the pews, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance. We've got a lot going on in the life of the church this week. Let me bring out a few points for you. The general meeting and program of the United Methodist Women will be held tomorrow night at 6 o'clock p.m. in the fellowship. All women are welcome to attend that. That's tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Also, United Methodist Men will have a dinner and program on Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. in the fellowship hall. Chip Stockman will be the speaker, and he will be presenting a program entitled, What's with the Price of Gas? So I'm sure we would all like to know that. Please call the church office and make reservations for that. That's United Methodist Men, Tuesday at 5:30. Also, Reverend Dennis says that misery loves company, so he invites all of you to join him in a family bike ride on Sunday, October the 7th. Get your bicycles out and get them tuned up for that bike ride, family bike ride on October the 7th. We'll have more details about that later, but we want to give you a little advance notice so you can get those bicycles ready. Our gatherings continue this Wednesday night with the meal at 5:15 as normal and the program at 6 o'clock. You have two options for the program. Reverend Dennis will be leading a study of a book entitled The Language of God. And the second program is Parenting on Point. So again, if you would please contact the church office and let them know if you plan to attend that so that we can have plenty of food for you. Lee Roberts, our congregational nurse, will be doing bone density screening. She'll be doing that on Wednesday, September the 19th and September the 26th from 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. and on Sunday, September the 23rd from 9 o'clock until 11 o'clock. And if you can't make one of those times, you can call the church office and make an appointment with her to have that bone density screening done. This morning you will notice a different person in the chancel area here, as we have a candidate for our director of music that will be directing our choir this morning. We want to welcome Larry Moore and his wife Martha here this morning. We're going through the interview process. We are interviewing them and they're interviewing us, so we want you to be on your best behavior this morning. We don't want them to see us as we really are today, so please be on your best behavior this morning, and we welcome them this morning to our service. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Please stand and join with me in the call to worship. Are you the lamb for whom the shepherd left the other 99, who, having been found, was the cause of great rejoicing? Are you the coin for which the woman lit the lamp and searched the house, which, having been found, was the cause of much celebration?
Be seated and join with me in our invocation. Lord God, we believe you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We believe that you continue to love the lost and wandering. We believe that you rejoice over everyone who repents. Come among us and in your mercy and love, Redeem us from our lostness. Rescue us from our wanderings. Restore us from our brokenness. Release us from our bondage. Receive us into your family through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I would like to call forward our CERT team. Please come forward and stand before the congregation, and that is Community Emergency Response Team. They've gone through many, many hours of training to be a part of this organization. We would like to recognize them, some in uniform and some not. And as they stand before you, I just wanted to read a few verses of Scripture. Jesus said in the parable of the final judgment in Matthew 25, "The king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me, I was thirsty and you gave me drink, I was a stranger, you invited me to your home, I was naked and you gave me clothing, I was sick and you cared for me, I was in prison and you visited me.' Then the righteous ones will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say, 'I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it unto me.'" When we serve those in need and crisis, and through this CERT team they do, whether it be in stormy lives or in storm-wrecked homes or fire-ravaged neighborhoods or in other critical situations, we do it from the love of Christ within us and out to others beloved of Christ as well. We do it because no matter how masked or hidden, we are created in the image of God and must treat others with respect and compassion. These of your membership have chosen to live out their faith or part of their faith through intensive training, and they are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in readiness to respond to the needs of others in emergencies. I'm proud of them and of their commitment. Let us give them a hand. Well, I want to please stay. Please stay for 1 second. 1 second. I want you to stay for 1 second. I wanted to bestow a blessing upon you. I think your training is what you really need, but let's add a blessing as well. Let us pray. Lord, bless these, your children's efforts to serve others, their willingness to serve others, and remind us that when we do, we are serving you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. I'm supposed to say also they would like your support, and they have a lot of equipment to buy, and that means money. As we come to our community concerns, our time of prayer, I want to lift up in a special way Joyce Bartless, Jimmy Wade, Ken Flincham, and Sally Sprott, Carol Harley's mother, each of them going through health problems of serious nature. And please hold them up, and also others who have situations that we may not be aware of. Let us lift our prayers up together to God. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we sometimes feel alone, even in a crowd, even in church. We wonder, are our walls too high, our armor too thick, our scars too visible? Or is our focus too much on ourselves? Lord, as we gather to praise you, help us discern the body, the gathered presence of the church we call the body of Christ on earth. We want connection, but we are afraid, afraid to trust, afraid to show weakness, afraid to reveal doubts and struggles. Lord of all, give us the power to overcome that which separates us from the close family love we were made for, with you, our Heavenly Father, and with each other. We pray for each family represented here today, and for their marriages and relationships, for their witness and for their decisions. We pray for those who grieve, and for those who wait, for those who cannot see the end of troubles, and for those who refuse to forgive just yet. We pray for the leaders of the nations of our world, that they be more open to the influence of your Spirit and the things that make for peace. Lord, hear now the private prayers of our hearts as we lift our concerns before you. in silence. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'd like to invite the children down front now for the children's message today with Lisa Smith.
Lisa is giving out a number to every child, so everybody make sure that you have a number. And I just want to remind everyone, yep, Marissa brought the offering plate, so if you have a collection, you may put it in the offering plate. And all first graders are reminded that they go out with me again for worship readiness. Oh, okay. Ha ha. Lisa knows that I don't ad-lib very well. Let's sit down, Vivi Joy. Do you not? Raise your hand if you don't have a number. I think Marissa. Oh, Nick is over here. So we know we need two more. All right.
Okay, guys, you're going to help me this morning. You're going to help me this morning with the children's sermon. You have been assigned a number. Did everybody get a number? Yes? Good. Okay. You know what? Guys, I just love numbers. Don't you love numbers? Oh, they're great. They're faithful. They're true. They're constant. They don't ever change. In fact, I take my numbers with me everywhere I go. Do you? I do. I take them with me everywhere, every day. In fact, I just love all of my numbers, and I love you all the same. Yep, I just love my little number buddies. You know what? I'm thinking I want to check and just make sure all my number buddies are here. Now, when I call your number, and we'll start down here, I want you to stand up across. This may take just 1 second. I need you to make a line. All right. Just checking to see if you're here. Number one, if you'll stand here. Quick, 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 quick. Number two. Quick, quick, quick. Number three. Come and stand. I promise you won't have to do anything. Number four. Who's four? Good. Stand right here. Number five. Good. Number six. Number seven. Number seven. Oh, okay. Well, let's just leave a place for number seven. Number seven. Number eight, number nine, number nine, number 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, that's you, let them go. Good, 15, 16, 17, as long as they're here, it doesn't matter. 18, quick, 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 18, where's 18? Right there, 19. 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, and 25. Oh, wait a minute, did number 7 ever show up? No, number 7, oh dear, you know, that's not like number 7 not to show up. Oh, I'm a little worried, you know, no offense to you guys, because I love you all the same, but no offense, you know, 7, God created the earth in 7 days, 7 days of the week, 7 times 7, lucky 7. It's just, you know, it wouldn't be the same set of numbers without number 7, would it? Will you help me call for number 7? I just know she's in here somewhere. Ready? On the count of 3. 1, 2, 3, 7. Oh, 7. Where have you been? Well, we really did. Now, help her find out where 7 goes. I think it's so... you're in the wrong place. 7, I'm so glad we found you. Give me a hug. You are so important to me, just like all of these numbers in the set of numbers. We thought you were lost forever. And guys, would it have been the same without number 7? No. Guys, guess what? You are representing numbers just like the sheep in the Bible. Do you remember what happened to that? What happened to the shepherd when one of his sheep was lost? Do you remember? What did he do? He just dropped everything he was doing and he went to look for the lost sheep. And guys, you're just numbers, and yeah, they're important, and that was just a sheep, and yeah, he was important, but y'all, he had lots of sheep where that one came from. But you guys, we're all very important in God's eyes, and just imagine how happy he is when one of us is lost and then comes back to him and is found. Can we say a prayer together? Are we ready? Dear God, thank you for loving each and every one of us. When we are lost and sometimes forget to do your will, help us to remember. Your amazing grace will find us. Amen. And you can keep the numbers to remember how important you are. 7, you may have to give yours back, but...
Now let us share the peace of Christ which we have in our hearts. Please try to find someone that you have not spoken to before. Let us pass the peace.
In your pew Bible this morning, on page 859, we're reading the Old Testament lesson from Jeremiah 4, 11 through 12, and then 22 through 28. At that time, it will be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a hot wind comes from me out of the bare heights in the desert toward my poor people, not to winnow or cleanse. A wind too strong for that. Now it is I who speak in judgment against them. Verse 22. For my people are foolish. They do not know me. They are stupid children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil, but do not know how to do good. I looked on the earth, and lo, it was waste and void, and to the heavens, and they had no light. I looked on the mountains, and lo, they were quaking, and all the hills moved to and fro. I looked, and lo, there was no one at all, and all the birds of the air had fled. I looked, and lo, the fruitful land was a desert. And all the cities were laid in ruins before the Lord, before his fierce anger. For thus says the Lord, the whole land shall be a desolation, yet I will not make a full end. Because of this the earth shall mourn, and the heavens above grow black. For I have spoken, I have purposed, I have not relented, nor will I turn back. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
you would like to follow on page 253 in your pew Bibles, the epistle reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason I received mercy, so that in me, as in the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And now as we come to the time of the service for the offering, I remind you from time to time that it is not primarily to pay bills. It is not primarily to meet a budget. It is an act of worship and praise and trust. Let us worship God through the giving of our offerings, tithes, and special gifts.
Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting to us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that he has lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, our only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Before I begin my sermon, I want to take just a point of personal privilege. I do want to thank everyone for your cards, your letters, your concern, and so many of you who came to my father's service just a week ago. And I truly appreciated it. Didn't expect it. I could barely find the church where my mother and family attend, and I know many of you must have done the map quest to find it, and I do thank you. It meant a tremendous amount to me. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, I always like a good dog story, and I think this is a good dog story. A lost and found ad was placed in a paper once which read, "Lost, one dog, brown hair with several bald spots, has three legs, a bent tail, right eye missing, left ear bitten off, answers to the name Lucky." And you've heard that before, but we laugh at that because of the irony. Think on this irony. The people we think of as lucky in our culture are the rich and the famous and the superstars, and very, very often they end up wounded and bent and broken and lost and alone. Today's superstars become tomorrow's jokes. But still, we follow their lives, these world-worn floating wrecks, as if they have arrived. You can be rich and famous and be lost and alone. You can have everything you always thought you needed to be happy and be lost and alone. And speaking of lost, isn't it odd that when you're looking for something, it's always in the last place you look? No, that's not odd. There's nothing odd about that. Of course it's in the last place you look. When you find it, the search is over. You stop looking. It's the end. Well, the conference I attended last week spoke about our need to seek the seekers who are looking for God, who have a hunger for meaning in their life. But the church is the last place many of them would think to look. This is what they said. Especially high steeple or high tower, downtown traditional looking churches like us. What once was a strength seems now to be a weakness. This is what the experts said. Seekers, disappointed and disillusioned with worldly pursuits and self-centered lives, look for places that break the mold. And to them, we seem, well, moldy. One of us, one of you, not necessarily staff or pastor or committee heads, has the next great idea for our mission and ministry and outreach. Who knows who God might inspire to help us break the mold and realize the potential that this sleeping giant certainly has? It hurt me to hear that many people who feel lost and alone consider traditional churches like ours the last place to look. It makes me sad that folks feel that way. It makes me even sadder that some of us have never, ever invited one seeking person here. Now, don't get me wrong. There is no plan to water down what we believe in order to be attractive to people who don't know what they believe. That's a losing proposition on both ends. One, we would cease to be who we are, and two, watered down beliefs offer nothing to a serious seeker. No, honoring the seeker does not mean that we water down 2,000 years of Scripture and proclamation. In fact, theologian Paul Tillich said that our job is to proclaim the gospel message so clearly that it creates a crisis, a need to decide, do I believe this or not? Our message needs to be consistent, even when we don't feel like it. Whosoever will come seeking God, responding to the hope offered in Jesus Christ, whosoever will come will be welcomed and greeted and presented the crisis of the living gospel. And if they say yes, then incorporated into the family of God residing at Main Street United Methodist Church. Either that, or we take our signs down. And what about those of us who've spent our whole lives in church and prayed and tithed and preached and witnessed and worked in homeless shelters and been overseas on missions and yet somehow feel that God hasn't found us yet? In our area, it seems to me that old folk theology oddly is converging with New Age spirituality. What folk theology and generic spirituality have in common is that both speak about finding, about us doing the finding. Jesus, in these two teaching parables today, turns that on its head. He says, he speaks about God finding, about God seeking, and about God rejoicing. I think if you dropped a 25-cent coin and still had nine, you might not, because it's at night, you might not light a light and sweep the house and turn it upside down to find it. You might say, I still have nine. You might not search that way, but God would. And if you lost one sheep, but you still had 99 secure, you might not leave the 99 in the wilderness by themselves just to go find the one. You might not, but God would. And what father in the next parable in that reading would watch for and embrace the son, that son who said, let's pretend that you are dead and give me my inheritance now, and then he wastes it and he comes home filthy and ragged? You might tolerate his return, but which of you would kill the fatted calf and throw a party? You probably wouldn't, but God would. You see the theme. God is not like us, and that is a good thing. That is a very good thing. God knows nothing of cost-benefit analysis. God knows love and grace and forgiveness and redemption. We, in these stories, are pictured as the passively, cluelessly wandering sheep or the insensate coin. Both have value, but neither the sheep nor the coin have any idea that they are lost. The parables paint a picture where God seeks, God finds, God celebrates. Henry Nouwen tells the story of an old man who used to meditate early every morning under a big tree on the bank of the Ganges River in India. One morning after he had finished his meditation, he saw a scorpion floating helplessly in the water. As the scorpion was washed closer to the tree, the old man reached out to rescue the drowning insect. As soon as he touched it, however, the scorpion did what scorpions do. It stung him. Instinctively, the man withdrew his hand, but a minute later, he tried again. This time, the scorpion stung him so badly with its poisonous tail that his hand instantly became swollen and bloody and his face contorted with pain. At that moment, a passerby saw what was going on, and he shouted, "Hey, stupid old man, what's wrong with you?
Only a fool would risk his life to save such an ugly, evil creature. Don't you know you could kill yourself trying to save that ungrateful scorpion? Looking into the stranger's eyes, the old man said calmly, "My friend, just because it is in the scorpion's nature to sting does not change my nature to save." The cross reveals God's nature to save, God's depth of desire to save, God's love which does not count the cost. So much of the work of the modern seeker, or of the old-fashioned bumper sticker proclaiming, "I found it." Do you remember the bumper stickers that said, "I found it"? You may have had one. Don't raise your hand, because I'm not going to say anything good about it. No, you didn't. You didn't find it. God found you. And I mean it this way. God put the hunger in your heart to search. You probably, as all of us do, fed it with spiritual junk food and things and thrills, and you still felt empty. God put that hunger in your soul. Wesley called it prevenient grace. And in hymn 561 in our hymnal, Charles Wesley describes it this way. Lodestone means magnet. Touched by the lodestone, or touched by the magnet of thy love, let all our hearts agree and ever toward each other move, and ever move toward thee. We are to move toward God and toward each other. The magnet of God's grace, the spiritual hunger, which is a gift from God he has given us. We are supposed to move toward each other. You know, some of us find it a lot easier to move toward God, and we leave out the each other part. That each other part is hard, because we do not all like each other's habits and mannerisms and annoying tendencies. We don't. But found in Christ and together in God's families, we got to love each other. And love trumps like. And I can give you an example if you don't agree, and you will as soon as I finish. Do you love your family, your mom, your dad, your grandparents, your aunts, your uncles, your brothers, your sisters? Do you love them? You can shake your head yes. You love them. Do you like them all the time? No. Well, then you got it. You understand. Tillich and our general conference experts say not to water down how we got to be found in family together. God came in Jesus Christ to seek out and to save the lost. How is that for a crisis? Can you believe that? God came looking for you, pulling for you, not sitting back as a solemn judge waiting for you to mess up and get out of line and give you a cosmic whack on the head. No. God came in us. God came to us in Jesus Christ and came in this moment, continues to come in this moment through the Holy Spirit, urging us and wooing us and working on our hearts to turn away from self-centered life and turn toward a God-centered life. And that's all that repentance means, to turn to God. It doesn't mean I'm sorry and keep on going away from God. It means to turn away from what you're doing that leads you away from God, away from each other, and to turn back to God. It literally means a U-turn. I once in my first church preached the corniest sermon you've ever heard, entitled God's U-turn, playing off of the Greek word metanoia. Turn. The same God who has us turn toward Him, always when we do, when we enter into His embrace, the very next thing is, okay, sends us out to others. Wouldn't this faith of ours be easier if it weren't for other people? It would, wouldn't it? John Wesley said that it's a social religion, though. It must be lived out in community with other people. John Wesley had no real respect or admiration for the desert fathers who prayed and read Scripture out in a cave alone by themselves. He essentially said, in his proper English, it's easy to be a Christian if there ain't no people around. Oscar Wilde said, hell is other people. No, our faith requires us. God expects us to reach out to other people outside there and inside here. weeping with those who weep, rejoicing with those who rejoice, and praying for and seeking the good of others. Solitary belief and solitary worship and solitary faith that touches no one and shares with no one and invites no one and encourages no one is not faith at all. If you get brave and get inspired to invite, as we are called to, it should go something like this, something like this. As you speak to someone who seems to need what the church can provide, you could say, "You seem to feel alone. Come see the family that God is growing at Main Street. Come see the family that God is growing here. We're not all perfect, but we do all believe and rejoice in God's love for us and God's love for you." I'll bet somewhere along the line, somehow each of us who now feel found in Christ, each of us in this family of God, we somewhere got the message that there is an empty place inside of us and nothing but God would fill it. And so when we invite others, we can say, "Come live with God here. Come grow with God here and with God's people." And explain how God has filled that empty place in your heart. Some imperfect people, some incomplete people are struggling to grow in God's grace over here at Main Street Church. Come join us. We offer honest struggle, working out our faith together. The grace and the power and the growth comes from God. The love comes from God. The eternal hope comes from God. And don't worry, the strength to love this odd mixture of people also comes from God. And we never must come across as reaching down to lift people up. We are always reaching out to bring people in. To be a winsome, inviting church, we need to lead with how the gospel has impacted our life and how God has led you from faith to deeper faith, how God has led you to be less in love with self and selfish desires and more generous and compassionate with others and more peaceful in God's presence and prayer and more forgiving. And if God hasn't, and you can't say that, then it is time to pray. Many of you have heard so much and read so much about the Natural Church Development Survey that you may be sick of it, but there's more coming. We are weak in evangelism, the survey says. Inviting and welcoming and incorporating others into our church family. We can fix that if we see clearly who we are and who God is and how vital it is to find new ways and new attitudes about reaching out, not down, to others. With our faith stories of what God is doing in my life, what God is doing in my Sunday school class, in my prison ministry circle, in our youth group, in a mission event, in my marriage, in my family, in my addictions. You see, people don't just stumble upon the secret of the gospel. They see it in the light of your eyes, a warmth in your welcome, a sincerity in your service, and the joy and the praise in your worship. The ultimate test of our faith is how much we care about those who are lost and alone and wandering out there. I had a couple in my very first church. You've heard some horror stories about Hardyville. This is not a horror story. It's an interesting story. They were in their 80s when I met them about 25 years ago. Their name was the Rogenbergs. And they had escaped from the Nazis in Norway during World War II. And they lived for a time, decades in South America. And then they lived decades in the Low Country, the very lowest of the Low Country, Hardyville. And when I met them, they had acquired the perfect storm of three accents: Norwegian, Brazilian, and Low Country, South Carolina. It was almost impossible for me to understand them. I remember they had a great grandson born. I said, "Well, what's his name?" And they said, "Yanyuk." I said, "I'm sorry." They said, "Yanyuk, in the Bible, Yanyuk." John Luke. I finally got it. I'll never forget a day when I was over there and we heard on the radio in the background about a plane crash and over 100 people had died. And it broke Mrs. Rogenberg's heart. Whatever your theology may be and whatever God's reality may be beyond all of our theology, she felt pain in her heart wondering, did any of them almost but not quite have faith? And she wondered if they had never cried out to God, did they have time? She hoped and prayed, almost in tears, that they had time. She had such concern for the lost or the potential lost, and it deeply touched me. Now, I know that some of you who tend toward a universalism in your theology might think that would be the perfect time to give her a lecture. But if you had been there, I promise you, you would not have done that. Her love, her concern for those who she worried could be lost from God was so genuine and so sincere and so rare. We say we believe that God in Christ has something to offer, that sin is real, that salvation, that wholeness and redemption is real, and that a life connected with God, with God's love, forgiveness, and grace is real. Knowing that and believing that and knowing that some others do not know or do not believe or have not seen the reality of it practiced in their whole lives, how can we sit comfortably when there are empty pews? What makes us think that God secretly sent His Son for us and not for others? These parables say to me that God's heart breaks in concern for all those who are lost and alone. There are people who you know in your heart right now have lives that are just paper thin, who need depth and meaning and assurance of love, forgiveness, and grace, and they need to hear it from those who have accepted it from us. You know who they are. They may be rich and empty. They may be poor and empty. They may be young and empty, old and empty. God came to us and created this church, and we are a part of this church. It's not just for us, but specifically for them. We have one marching order: to go and make disciples. Let's do our job. Next week, homework assignment: bring, invite, think of small group ministries that we can form to offer folks on the outside so we can get them first in the door, so then they can see and trust that we mean what we say, that we are children of God offering love, forgiveness, and grace. Let us, in that way, wake the sleeping giant that this church is. Amen. For the benediction, I will invite the CERT team to come forward and my wife Caroline to arrange someone to take their picture, because I'll be back there shaking your hands. And now receive this blessing. Be blessed with the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. and the peace and the comfort, even in this moment, through the Holy Spirit. You have been blessed. Be a blessing. In Jesus' name.